walks like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animal, talking animal. Talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animals, talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. And before I go any further, I want to be sure to thank Bev Capshaw and her son Daniel for hosting the program last Wednesday in my absence. As for today's show, my guest is Sterling Davis, also known as Trap King. The sobriquet reflects Davis's prowess with the humane traps used in the commission of Trap, Neuter, Return, TNR, of community cats, which previously have been called feral cats, among other names. The fact that Davis is presiding over and building a growing Trap King enterprise is a measure of how uniquely cut out he is for this work and how his story, personality, and leadership talents continually influence large numbers of people, both inside and outside of the TNR cat rescue world. Some of the influence is a conscious decision on Davis's part, having realized that as a double anomaly, a male in cat rescue is rare, while a black cat rescuer is rarer still. He could truly make a difference, not just for the community cats, but also for the many people like himself he might persuade to join the rescue ranks. We'll find out about these elements of the Trap King story and more, including a nonprofit he founded, when I speak with Sterling Davis in a few moments here on Talking Animals on WMNF. Also later in the show, we'll hear an animal song from ukulele virtuoso Jake Shimabukuro as a prelude to Uke It Out 5.0, WMNF's fifth annual ukulele festival, happening this Saturday, December 7th, from 4 to 10 p.m. at Cage Brewing in St. Pete. Tickets and information can all be had at WMNF.org. Right now, though, let's get to our conversation with Sterling, with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj@wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. This is Sterling Davis, Trap King, on Talking Animals on WMNF. Good morning, Sterling.
Morning. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining me on Talking Animals today.
Thanks for having me, sir.
You bet. So let's start at the beginning, or sort of at least the beginning of the Trap King era. So let's say it's around 2012, and set the scene for us from there. Like, what was going on then, and what kind of happened?
Well, I was actually doing music. I was on tour doing music. I was tour managing and working with a friend of mine named Jaron Benton, and I was in between tours looking for something to do, something to occupy my time until I got back on tour. So I went on Craigslist and I saw an ad just for helping out with some cats at the shelter, like scooping litter. So I was like, yeah, this is pretty easy. It sounds like I like cats. Seems like a no-brainer, easy position, something cool and easy I can do until I go back on tour. So I went in for the interview. Didn't do good in the interview because they had a bunch of cats in the room. So just playing with the cats half the time. But they ended up hiring me because they said, we don't usually see people like you that handle cats like that. We think it'd be good if you stayed. So I ended up staying, but it was still supposed to be temporary. It was supposed to be like a couple months until I went on tour. But I saw, you know, the time while I was there, I was able to see a void that I could fill as far as being a black man in a community cat care. It was just that rare. So I ended up staying.
So you got hooked. So how quickly did that happen? Because it sounded like you, from what you're describing, you went into it kind of already liking cats, or you probably wouldn't even have applied for the thing to begin with. But what happened when you got there, and how quickly did that happen that it kind of changed your whole plan?
Yeah, I was already a vegetarian. I already love cats. I had a cat of my own before I did that, and that's why I felt like it would probably be easy when I read the Craigslist ad. But it was a few chain of events that took place that really got me to stick with it. One of them was a situation where a group of gentlemen was coming. They were like crowding around me while I was returning some cats, and they literally told me that, hey, you know, these cats, what you doing? People put diseases and tracking devices in these cats, and they dump them off in the black community. to affect the black, to have a negative effect on the black community. And I was like, wow. I can't believe how wrong that thought process was and how much I wanted to change that.
Just even to hear it now, it seems like kind of a hard to wrap your head around. Did you think, well, this can't be true? Or do you think, well, this is true but weird? I mean, what was your reaction upon hearing that piece of information?
Well, being that I was working in rescue at the time, I knew that that wasn't the case, but it was weird because I was like, I wouldn't think that it would be something a little more typical, like, malt liquor or Newport cigarettes or something that was just more typical of black people or the black community. But to think that cats, you know, somewhat the government would use cats to have a negative effect on the black community, it was just, I was like, wow, I thought it was pretty weird.
And did more than one person say that? Because, of course, in retrospect, it sounds like just sort of a kooky conspiracy theory. But I gather that either the person you were speaking to or maybe multiple people said the same thing. So it gave you at least pause to think, wow, where did this come from?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times I would hear things about what was going on, but it never had anything to do with TNR and the benefits of it. I would get stuff like that. I would get all types of stuff. Like, what are you dropping off in the community? What negative effect? What are you trying to do that's negative to the community? It was never like the thought process of, hey, this is actually a positive effect. This is actually something good that's needed. It's helping clean the community up. That wasn't the thought process. It was usually the thought that I was dumping more cats off or, like I said, using tracking devices and toys.
So leaving aside the conspiracy theory part, it sounds like no matter what people thought when they saw you, they thought you were up to no good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
He must be dumping more cats out here.
Yeah.
Something negative.
Wow. Now, when they started to see you, I mean, I could see how that would happen. Well, I mean, it's odd no matter how it would happen, but I could see maybe how it would happen, like, the first time you showed up at some place. But part of the whole work of TNR and Community Cats is coming back to those colonies after a given cat or a set of cats or have been spayed or neutered. So when they saw you a subsequent time or multiple times even, did they then start to say, okay, well, whatever we thought at first maybe isn't happening because this guy keeps coming back and doesn't actually seem to be up to no good despite what we thought initially?
Oh, yeah. And I you know, coming back, returning the cats and continuing on with the process as well as explaining the process, I would always make sure that I was available to talk to whoever had any questions. And I later realized that I wanted that attention early on so that I could speak to people and let them know exactly what I was doing. And, you know, I think once people see dedication, somebody's genuine or something, after a while, they start to go along with it. They start to see that it's something good. And I feel like that's what's happened. I mean, especially with the children in a lot of communities that I go to, it's like the ice cream truck now when they see the trap van pulling up.
So yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely started to turn around.
So we'll probably come back to it in more detail, but since you referred to the trap van, maybe you should describe what that is and what it looks like.
Oh, yeah. So in order to get started with my nonprofit at the time, you know, I didn't have the funds or anything, and I didn't have a sponsor, so my most of what I did came from merch sales. But because I couldn't afford rent and cat surgeries at the same time, I decided to get myself a van, a conversion van, and I work and live out of that van. And it's called the Trap Van, pretty decked out. Like blue with a bunch of cats all over it, rim. If you live in Atlanta, you have definitely seen this van before.
And so that's when you go to an area, you go to a colony, whatever, that's how you get there. That's what you do with the traps or returning the cats. So as you said a moment ago, for people that have seen you and know what you're up to, it's kind of like, well, there's the Trap King in the trap van, and now it starts to draw a bit of a crowd.
Oh, yeah, and it brings about a different type of attention. That's one of the first things I thought about was when I started the nonprofit was something that would get different demographics engaged. So, you know, like I said, I prefer the attention when I come in a neighborhood. I want the crowd because I can pull out the cat lovers and the cat haters, and I can be able to explain to both of them. But it does, you know, you see a guy in a big old van with a bunch of cats on it playing some loud music, it does attract the crowd. I'm just happy that the crowd is getting more positive now.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You kind of turned that from whatever suspicions people had initially, because A, you kept coming back. B, they could see that whatever we thought he was up to initially, he's not up to no good. He's just, it seems to be helping cats just like he said he was, even though we didn't believe it at first. So, and then the trap van itself, I think, makes its own impact from what I understand.
Oh, yeah. The kids, it's hard to miss the trap van. And like I say, the kids, as soon as they see those cats, they like, oh, yeah, traps can't come. We can catch some cats. I used to reward some of the kids with money sometimes, too. You know, whoever kills a trap first and sends me a text message, then you get the $20 prize, or you get the $15 prize, you get the $5 prize. So that got the kids real excited about it, to be able to get some candy money or something like that.
Just out of curiosity, how do those levels of prizes work? So what was the $20 prize versus the $5 prize?
Well, it was more just the fact of the first, you know,
the
first person to text message me.
I see.
The second person to text message me. So they were really trying to get those traps filled.
Right, which is, of course, only help in your efforts in that way. Just, I want to make sure we didn't jump over a couple of important parts of the story. So you responded to the ad, you went, you loved it, you already had an affection for cats, and then you really liked doing the work, and then you said, hey, I thought this was just to kind of get me through before the next road gig, but actually I'm not going back on the road, I'm going to do this with the cats. So what was it like when you notified the folks that, hey, you know what, I know I'm supposed to go be back on tour with you in a few weeks or whatever, and instead, this is what I'm doing. What was that conversation like?
It was not well received at all. It was, you know, I was, and it's crazy because I was just getting to a point in my music career where I felt like I really wanted to be. And the people around me knew that. So for me to do that, it was kind of like, what are you talking about? Like, and I literally called the tour back and was like, yeah, I'm not coming back. I'm going to do this thing with the cat. And it... I think initially it took everyone a million, like, what did you say, cat? Wait, cat? Like, C-A-T?
Yeah. What am I missing here, right? Yeah.
Yeah, like, how are we missing this? They're trying to connect it to music, and they couldn't. So it wasn't well received. It was definitely like, this guy wants to go broke, or he's finally going crazy.
Yeah. At the time, though, Sterling, just so I'm clear, because you mentioned earlier in our conversation that you were like working as a tour manager. So was it, but also that you were a musician. So when you were calling to say, hey, I'm not coming back, I'm doing this cat thing, and again, everybody couldn't quite understand what you were saying, were you basically sort of canceling a gig strictly as a tour manager, or were you canceling a gig as a tour manager who also was going to be performing on some of those shows?
Yeah, both.
Yeah.
Some of those shows.
Okay.
That was the one of the main reasons with tour managing, is because one of my buddies, he had signed a record deal, and he was doing pretty well, so the plan was to tour manage with him and segue into my own music.
Yeah.
And it was finally at a point where that was happening. And then for me to walk away, people were like, okay.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
But that does sound pretty drastic, because I would think for you to get to that point, you'd probably have been pursuing music for a while. And then here, at least from the description you just gave, it sounds like a pretty cool opportunity to be on the road, help him with his thing, but get your own opportunity. So to turn your back on that, to say, yeah, I'm going to actually stay back and work with the cats. I mean, even to me, it sounds a little bit hard to conceive at first.
Yeah, it is. It was a lot. But for me, I started to feel as if everything I had done previously in my life, everything that I was around, it was leading up to something like that. I mean, you could be a cool rapper. You know, that's cool. I could stand on stage and rap some cool songs, but this was something totally different. This was like making a difference in the world. And I started to feel like the fact that I did grow up in music and being an entertainer, that prepared me to be able to speak and attract people to this, to something else, to TNR. So I felt like it was something more. It was a big step, but it just felt like the fact that, like I said, I always liked cats. I was a vegetarian already. It's like I was a perfect fit
right
for the rescue world, but didn't even know rescue.
Right. Well, because it sounds like, as you're describing it, that it was just one of those kind of key moments that people have in their lives where it's like, yeah, I know in a few weeks I'm supposed to go back on tour and I get my chance to build my own musical career, help my buddy with his. But this feels like exactly the right thing at the right moment. And I don't even want to postpone it by going back on the tour and finding another time to come do the cat thing. I'm just going to stay here and do the cat thing right now. But it just sounds like one of those light bulb moments that people have in their lives sometimes.
It really was. because it's like the light bulb went off.
And, yeah.
And this is what you should be doing. This is something you could really have a positive effect on. So it means a lot.
Well, this is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. If you just tuned in, my guest is Sterling Davis, also known as Trap King, for the humane traps involved in Trap Neuter Return, TNR of Community Cats. He's become an influential figure in the world of cat rescue, a world he set out to change, and he is changing it. So if you'd like to ask Sterling a question about cats, about TNR, about the trap ban, about whatever comes to mind, you feel free to call 813-239-9663. Email DJ at WMNF.org or text 813-433-0885. So it sounds like, yeah, when you got into it and you had that kind of light bulb moment, a big part of that light bulb moment was like, this feels right. Again, I've liked cats. I'm a vegetarian. I'm really enjoying working with the cats. But it also sounds like there was something larger to it, even early on, like I can make a difference with doing this. So what, when you realize you can make a difference, what does that look like to you? What did it look like to you then, and what does it look like now?
Well, diversity being the main thing.
Yeah.
When I got started and I was working for the shelter, and they were going to promote me to community cat coordinator. So I went through a series of training, and everybody that I was training with, that was a woman, it would be white women. That's all I went out with every night. Every day, who trained me, who was doing this, that's all I saw. Really no men and no black people participate in this. And immediately from there, I thought, you know, where's all the guys and where's all the black people at? And they were like, no, it's you, you're it. This is pretty much it. So I immediately thought, damn, well, how much care are the cats missing if we have demographics that aren't even aware of this, that have no idea what it means, they're not participating in it? And, you know, for me, that not only is hurtful for the cats, it's also bad for the women that's doing it, because that causes compassion fatigue and burnout. You overworked. They needed help.
Yeah.
So that was one of the main things that I saw I could change, too, is bringing diversity to community cat care. And that just goes into a whole lot of other issues of how it even got that way with that community.
Well, let's spend at least a moment on that, if we could, Sterling, just because I guess a key question would be, as you were seeing, like, what went on and what didn't go on until you kind of stepped into this world. Why do you think, I mean, we already talked about how kind of when you first started doing your work, TNR work, and was going to tend to the colonies and do your trapping, people thought, okay, what's this guy up to? He's up to no good. There's the conspiracy theory. But why do you think there just hasn't been that much interest in cats, or maybe animals more generally, in at least parts of the black community, as you've just kind of described?
Yeah, I think, you know, and that's one of the it's a few different stereotypes I want to break, but I think the hypermasculinity in the black community is one of the things that we battle with, especially with men. It's always, even when I was growing up, you know, my friends would be like, man, what you getting that cat for? What you messing with that cat for? You should get a dog. You should get a dog. Even women that I dated have questioned my sexuality because I had a cat. And it's like, I guess that's a stereotype, like I said, that I really want to break, because there is a thought process that cats are for women, dogs are for men, and I really want to break that. I think that's one of the reasons why the black community battles with that, amongst other things, such mm-hmm. as poverty. You know, if you feel like someone's going to come in the neighborhood and help the animals in the underserved community, but not help the people in the underserved community. So,
yeah, that doesn't sit well, probably, right?
Yeah, if that's the thought process, then, you know, people are going to be upset about that as well. But those two things are really, really heavy, especially the hypermasculinity in the black community. I think that's something a stereotype I definitely want to break and show the world a relationship between a man and his cat. And I'm still a guy. I'm still edgy. I'm still cool, you know.
Right.
That's
you just happen to love cats.
Yeah,
right?
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So, okay, well, I'm going to come back and follow up on that, but we've got a caller or two that I'd like to get involved in the conversation. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Sterling Davis, Trap King.
Hi. It's a great show today, and I just want to thank this gentleman. If you ever doubt that you're not affecting people, or you're not having an impact, it's not true, because you really are. We're in South Tampa, and I don't know if you know, but in Japan, a white cat is considered to be good luck. And I had this little charm hanging off my little porch in the back, you know. And sure enough, it's the strangest thing. These two white cats, I call them ferals, but anyway. anyway, they adopted me. Yeah, I give them a little food every day. But you know what? They are the most loving, wonderful. And I've had cats all my life. Okay, indoor cat. Never again am I going to have indoor cats. These little animals, these two cats, are the most loving, affectionate, beautiful animals. I sit out there at my coffee, and they come over to me, and they sit by my legs. It's a miracle. Two white, and they both have the clipped ear, you know. And I know that that's due to your hard work and the city, too, adopting that policy, which is wonderful. And I just wanted to say thank you. I can talk all day, but I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. And also, it sounds like you're an artist, and I just wanted to tell you that it's all, and you know this, it's all kinds of art, okay? All kinds of artists. And I think this is a form of art. I mean, the message of love and affection is going out there, man. And it's due to people like you. And again, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. That's amazing.
That's
and
really
I love that. The two white cats, the good luck, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know one of them's a fatty, and the other one is very athletic, and they're just wonderful, wonderful creatures. They really are so intelligent. And they bring me little gifts, you know. I won't describe the gifts. I'll spare you that.
Yeah, I think we can all probably imagine the gifts if we know anything about cats. But
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you so much for your call and your comment. And also, I was particularly happy to hear, because I was about to ask something about it, the ears were tipped. So for those listening who may not know what that means those cats have been trapped by somebody like Sterling, spayed or neutered, and then released back to their colony. So obviously, the white cats that our caller was speaking so highly of were cats that had been and probably still are feral cats, or more commonly now called community cats, but they had been spayed or neutered, so we won't have a big flock of white cats on his porch. So that's great. So thank you again for your call and your nice comment. Let's take one more caller, and then I'll get back to some of my questions. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Sterling Davis.
Good morning, Sterling. I met you last year at KittyCon, and you really are a cool dude.
Thank you so much.
Your passion for what you do really comes through in your lectures, and because of your message, I was inspired to adopt a cat from the Tampa Bay Humane Society barn cat program. She had been part of a feral colony, and the program coordinator there hooked me up with her, and she's an awesome barn cat. And I just want to thank you, and I admire you. I bought a Trap King shirt for my husband, and he wears it once a week to the gym and once a week to work, and he's a pipe fitter welder, and he is proud to talk about Trap. Thank you very much.
Awesome. And thank you so much.
Yes,
that's awesome.
You're an awesome man spreading a great message and helping lots of cats. Yes, sir. It's made a big difference. People like you have helped save thousands of cats every year from being euthanized because the public has finally got the message about trap, neuter, vaccinate, and return. So thank you very much. And thank you, Duncan, for having Sterling.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your nice call and your nice comments. That's really great. And along those lines, we should say that a couple folks have emailed in. One said, we need more people like Sterling Davis. Another says, the quote-unquote coolest men are the ones that care about animals. So I think probably referring to your thing about people challenging or questioning your masculinity because you have cats instead of dogs, whatever. And anyway, so this, obviously, you're just from what we're hearing directly and indirectly, you're making impact. Do you feel like the difference that you were hoping to make in terms of diversity and those kinds of things, is that moving the way you'd like it to move? Do you feel like, gosh, I wish I could go faster with this, but maybe it's hard to do so? How are you feeling about things at the moment?
Yeah, it's definitely moving. It's slowly but for surely. Slowly but for surely, it's moving along. Of course, for me, with this being my passion, I would like for things to move faster. There's so much more that I want to do that I'm trying to get off the ground because I'm constantly seeing different ways and different opportunities to spread the message and get the word to that to different demographics, like the cat that ran out on the football game.
Yeah.
He ran out on a football field. I saw that as an op. I mean, it immediately, you know, some people scream, like, help the cat. Some people were laughing, like, oh, like this. But immediately I saw a chance, an opportunity for a lesson because right there at that point, I can say, hey, if I'm watching a game with the fellas, hey, this cat needs to be TNR'd. And now they may take this in when at another time they wouldn't, but it's interrupting the football game. So a lot of these tough guys, I could probably have an opportunity to speak with them about TNR and why it's important. So stuff, you know, opportunities like that, I'm constantly thinking of ways to educate and spread the word.
Well, here's a chance to educate then, because one of our emailers, this is a slightly longer email, but just hang in there and you might have a good suggestion for our emailer here. It says, good morning, I have a stray male cat hanging around. He's nice for the most part, and we get him. It says maybe something because he was really thin. We fed him, so now he's here every day. He needs to be neutered, and I can't afford to do that. My mom is helping me feed him. I don't really want to take him to the county animal control, but I don't have the resources to get him taken care of. They most likely would put him down. Do I have any options to get assistance? And this is from Joe in Dover, Florida. So any responses to that off the top of your head, Sterling?
Well, did she say, I was trying to hear, did she say it was the cat is outdoors, right?
Yeah, I think sounds like it was a stray male cat that's hanging around, and then they fed him, so of course he's coming around more regularly, but it sounds like they know he needs to be neutered, but can't afford to do that, and they don't want to take him to the county animal control for fear of what would happen.
Oh, yeah. If she looks it up, and she can Google spay and neuter programs in her area, but she can just TNR. The cat definitely needs to be TNR.
Yeah.
But they definitely wouldn't mind returning the cat. Most counties are overran, flooded with cats and dogs. So there's programs, even voucher programs, where you can borrow a trap and TNR that fella, because he definitely needs it. And that way, once he's spayed, once he's neutered and vaccinated, he can come back, and you won't have a billion of those of those little guys. I would definitely go with the process of TNR with that. I mean, Jack Mackerel is the bait. You don't feed for about 24 hours, and then you set your trap. But if she was to Google and get in touch with her local shelter, they I'm sure there are some groups there that wouldn't mind doing TNR.
Yeah, there are people, like you say, that loan traps for this exact kind of scenario, and you just borrow it for a day or two or three or whatever you need, and you get the cat, and you get them fixed, and then return the cat and the trap.
Yeah, and you can follow me on social media, because I'm usually doing, you know, explanations, giving instructions, and on all types of traps and TNR. So it can that baby definitely needs to go through that TNR process, though.
Right. Yeah, we should say that. Yeah, you're big on social media, particularly Instagram, but also on Facebook, and you can just look for Trap King, or I think it's the original Trap King on Instagram. Do you have that right?
Original Trap King.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
So that's the way to follow Sterling and get those kind of posts and that information. Let's take another call. This person's been holding for a while now. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Sterling Davis.
Yeah, hey. Thank you for having compassion and empathy for non-humans. But there is a huge paradox, isn't there? Because the problem is that dogs and cats are terrible for native animals. Number one, they're not vegans, so huge amounts of animals are killed to feed dogs and cats that are pets. Dogs and cats that are feral are out in the environment destroying massive amounts of songbirds, lizards, snakes, etc., and competing with native species like raptors. So really, and declawing cats, of course, is cruel too. So it's great to be compassionate for cats, but what about the terrible impact that outdoor cats have on native animals, which are under the gun, not pampered, and struggling just to avoid extinction?
Yeah, and I want one of the things too that you touched on was declawing. Declawing is definitely something that's not cool. It's not it's literally like taking the tips of our own fingertips and removing that. So declawing is something that's definitely bad. But as far as with the birds, because I talk about that a lot, and a lot of people that worry about the birds being hurt or killed by the cats, that's why TNR, trap, neuter, return, is so positive, because it's humane population control. So with that, it's basically controlling the population in a humane manner, so we don't have an abundance of cats out there competing for resources like birds and foods, because it's literally a fight for resources and mates. So with the TNR process, you control the population and you don't have so many cats running around out hurting birds. So it's actually it's a process that's good if you like cats, if you don't like cats, and as well for the birds.
All right, again, this is, in case you just joined us, this is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest is Sterling Davis, but you can call him Trap King I guess, if he gives you permission. And we're discussing trap, neuter, return, TNR, community cats, and some of the issues that go with that. If you'd like to join this conversation with Sterling, ask a question, offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663, email dj at wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. So let's get one more caller in, and then we'll get back to some of my questions. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Sterling Davis.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead, please.
Yes, I live in Zephyr Hills, Florida.
Okay.
I retired about a year ago, moved into my RV, and this past summer, a Burman cat showed up, and I started feeding her. A couple months later, she brought her three kittens to introduce to me.
Sure.
And I immediately fell in love with them, and I've been a cat guy for years. What I found out is in Zephyr Hills, there's a vet office called Planned Pethood. Planned Pethood.
Okay, that's witty. Go ahead. Yeah.
You can get traps from them. And today I took the third kitten in to have it fixed and also a 1-year rabies shot. I even paid a little extra to get a feline leukemia test done. I'm hoping to domesticate two of them. The third one, female, she's so feral, I can't calm her down. But I just wanted to put the word out to any listeners that in Zephyr Hills, there is a good organization. Planned Pethood, you can get the trap. Now, to get it fixed, and a 1-year rabies shot is only $7.
Well, there you go. Wow.
That is a good bunch of people over there trying to help the community. And there are a few other strays that I'm going to keep trying to trap also. Eventually, I hope to get the mummy and the daddy and get them fixed also. But, Mr. Davis, I love you, buddy. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Well, that's very nice. Once
thank
again.
You for what you do as well, sir.
Yeah. That's excellent. And again, I think it's great. It was very specific to Zephyr Hills, but I think part of the point Sterling's already made is that not just in other parts of Florida, but just anywhere anybody might be listening to this online or later on archive or iTunes or whatever. In your area, sometimes it just takes a quick Google search or whatever to find something that's sort of the equivalent to Planned Pethood, which I love the name, by the way, that can help you with the trapping, can offer a very low-cost spay and neuter. So those things are out there, and so it doesn't take much to find them. So that's great to hear from our friend in Zephyr Hills, but just also know that there's counterparts pretty much everywhere with just a little bit of searching and maybe getting in touch with somebody, getting in the car or whatever, and your problems or issues with some of those cats that are having babies are quickly resolved. So we had someone else email saying, I think kind of in response to the most recent caller, none of my community cats kill birds because we feed them every day. Responsible community cat caretakers would agree. So that kind of goes along with what you were saying, Sterling. So,
oh yeah, the bird community. That's usually a battle, an ongoing thing. But
yeah,
you know, it can be tough. People to have different opinions, but it is a humane population control. And then as well, there's been a lot of studies where there's a lot of other things that actually harm birds as well. So
for sure,
that's an ongoing subject.
Yeah, no, it really is, and I do think that, at least where there's colonies or just even scattered community cats, the key thing is if they are fed regularly by people who do that regularly, then the birds are really not in the same kind of jeopardy that's otherwise being described. But all right, so we got a few more minutes here. I want to cover a lot of ground. So let me at least first just touch briefly on the organization that you've referred to. So you did start your own kind of nonprofit, Trap King Humane Solutions. So tell us a little bit about that and how that works.
Yeah, I started Trap King Humane Cat Solutions basically to educate and assist communities on TNR and raise awareness. I wanted to really bridge that gap between black and brown communities and community cat care. So that's been going for about two and a half, three years now. And it's like I said, it's been going well. I'm hoping to eventually segue into what I would call the first fraternity sorority based on TNR and community cat care. With college and fraternities and sororities, you basically, even after someone has graduated, they would still volunteer and pay dues. So I would like to transition that to community cat care for a lot of young men and women in these communities that want to join gangs because home life is tough. They want to be a part of something. I want to provide something like that. And I think a fraternity and sorority, some like Sons of Anarchy with the leather jacket.
Right. So when you're talking about this, you're not necessarily really talking about some of the more stereotypical collegiate fraternities where there's big drinking, hazing, kind of sometimes other issues, whatever. But you're just talking about in the more broad sense of a fraternal organization or whatever, or people, but especially maybe in that age range, would become interested in TNR and get involved with that.
Yeah, definitely. Like a brotherhood, like a sisterhood, like mm-hmm. like the rescue community. I mean, when we come together, it's an amazing thing. So it was more so like that, more so like a club of people can come together and, you know, maybe eventually a chapter or a colony in every city where people can go in and grab a trap and grab some mackerel from a certified area and go out and do their thing and then have gatherings. So more so like a club, because I think a lot of times when you see the gangs and the things like that, people want to be a part of something. So I think that aspect to TNR and rescue, I think it'll be pretty helpful.
For sure. Well, in our final minutes, I'm going to try to squeeze in a few random things that we may not be able to talk about in as much detail, but I want to hit a few more of these for sure before we do run out of time and quickly say again, this is Talking Animals on WNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. I'm speaking with Sterling Davis, known in many circles as Trap King, as in the humane traps involved in trap, neuter, return, TNR of community cats. So in our final moments, if you do want to offer a comment or a quick question, 813-238-99663, email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. So along with the sort of fraternity idea, or I like also calling them colonies too, which seems very fitting, it seems like you have other ideas about how to get people involved. Again, as we talked about it in some detail in this conversation, really trying to work on diversity, bringing diversity to the TNR cat rescue community. But part of that is aiming for different segments of people, even just different age ranges. So the fraternity colony thing, if I understand it, is kind of aimed more at sort of college age or post-college age thing. But one thing I thought was really cool, too, is this idea of even getting younger people involved. Can you talk a little bit about the possibility, at least, of a TNR badge?
Yeah, I wrote a book, a children's book, me and my aunt, actually, and it's called Marvin, Trap King for a Day. And the first thing I thought about when we were making the book was the hope to get Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts involved in TNR community cat care. So I have as far as the young audience, I would like to get them involved with something like that, a TNR badge for the Cub Scouts of America. I think that would be a really cool idea. It's an outdoor activity. It's positive. So that's something that I'm really working towards as well, is a TNR badge. I think it would be really cool.
And do you have any sense of how difficult or not it is for Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts to introduce a new badge to their program?
You know, I'm not sure. I thought it would be pretty easy, but I think with it being different chapters and, you know, organizations all over the country, it may be a little more difficult than I thought to reach everybody at one time, but I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Working on it.
Yeah. Well, you're working on a few things, right? You got a few things kind of spinning there. Plates are spinning. So, and I guess just for people who really like the minutiae of things, let me just ask you quickly, we'll just talk shop for a brief second. So let me ask you your trap of choice when you're out there doing your thing.
I like True Catch. I like the True Catch. I like the Tomahawk Drop Trap as well. You know, I use all of them to have a heart. But I do like the True Catch traps. They work pretty well, and they're not as loud. So you don't, with the closing of the trap, you prefer it to be not as loud. I mean, it's already a traumatic situation enough.
For sure.
So you don't want it to be too loud. So I'd probably go with True Catch, but I like the Tomahawk Drop Traps, and I'll use them all if I can save these babies.
Right. Gotcha. All right, Sterling. Well, we have reached the end of our time. It's been great speaking with you again. We've been talking with Sterling Davis, a.k.a. Trap King. The website for the organization that we just mentioned is trapkinghumane.org, but he's on social media, big on Instagram and Facebook as well, too. And so there's all kinds of ways to get more information, kind of see some of the trapping in action, get some instructional videos, etc. So, Sterling, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet, man. Thank you. Take care. for today's foray into the Comedy Corner. I thought that after my conversation with Sterling, I should play a feline-centric piece. So here it is. This is Aaron Foley with a piece called Three Cats in today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I'll tell you about my life in L.A. I am in my 40s, and I live with my twin sister, and we have three cats because sometimes life just works out. We have three cats. That's 2.5 too many. Two of them are sweet, sweet, sweet furry babies. And then there's the third, Big Mo. He's an instigator. He's a wild card. I don't make eye contact with him. He smokes in the house. He gets all his energy and will to live around 1 a.m. And he goes into the other bedroom and wakes up the other two sleeping cats. And he's like, psst, it's go time. And that is the nightly signal that kicks off the training sessions for the 2019 Cat Olympics. Starts with the 100 meter dash, then the 200 meter dash. Just running, running, running all over the house. And then the long jump where Big Mo long jumps himself onto the bed. I start screaming. The other two cats come in the room to measure the jump. Then it's the debut of a new sport called cabinet banging. Just bang, 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 all night long. And then the crash, the crash, the crash at 4 a.m. They get you out of bed and you run downstairs and the kitchen broom has been knocked over because they've started curling. And you snap, and you snap, and you scream at them like they're people. You scream at them like they know what you're talking about. You're like, I can't actually do this one more night. I'm exhausted. You're gonna be asleep all day tomorrow. I'm gonna be a zombie. I can't do this one more night. It's just three cats, six eyeballs looking up at you like, how are we supposed to get better if we can't practice? Everybody knows how much support an Olympic athlete requires. Now, if you'll excuse us, we found some old Christmas ribbon and we're about to kick off rhythmic gymnastics.
That was Aaron Foley with a piece called Three Cats, taken from her album Deep Dive. Coming up at 11 on WNF, it's Rob Lurie with Radioactivity, extending this three-hour block of interviews, phone calls, news, and more, including in the noon hour, Midpoint with Nola Lele. Then at 1 p.m., the music kicks back in with Euro Radio, hosted by Paco Morales, flowing into Scott Elliott and the All Souls edition of It's the Music at 2 p.m., and continuing into the afternoon, the evening, and beyond. Meanwhile, on today's show is the prize for Name That Animal Tune. I'll be offering a set of spectacular animal-oriented greeting cards designed by artist extraordinaire Jared Edson. I want to first tell you about a couple of things coming up, and then we'll get into Name That Animal Tune. One of those is that there is a Super Pet of a Tampa Adoption Day happening this Saturday, December 7th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Pet Supplies Plus. That's 10055 West Hillsborough Avenue, Tampa, Florida. And again, you can just search for information, Tampa Adoption Day, Super Pet of Tampa Adoption Day, and get more details. There's all kinds of animals obviously available for adoption that day for a good 4 hours or so, so that'll be cool. And also happening that same day, Florida Voices for Animals is celebrating its 30th year in the Tampa Bay area. Congratulations, FBA. So they're inviting people to join in on the celebration, which again is this Saturday, December 7th, taking place at Roy Haynes Park Community Center. It gets underway at 11:30 a.m., I believe. And for more information and various details of how you can get in on it, you can go to floridavoicesforanimals.org. I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to Name That Animal Tune, and it'll be a prize, that set of animal-oriented greeting cards created by artist extraordinaire Jared Edson. For the first person who calls 813-239-9663, and correctly identifies this animal song. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals on WMNF. Probably take those guesses off the air because we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. Hope you'll join me next week for another edition of the show. In the background, we're going to be hearing a little bit of Jake Shimabukuro, an animal song called Dragon. Again, that's to gear up for Uke It Out 5.0, WNF's fifth annual ukulele festival happening this Saturday, December 7th, from 4 to 10 p.m. at Cage Brewing in St. Pete. Again, tickets and information can be had at WNF.org. But let me just give you a sneak preview. A bunch of great ukulele musicians and bands will be performing. At one point, there'll be a Bob Marley of the ukulele contest. There'll be ukulele lessons, right? You could get started that very day. There's a Rolling Stones jam for all and more, including, pivotally, dogs are allowed at Uke It Out. So be sure to get in on that. That's this Saturday. Again, go to WNF.org, get your tickets, find out more. Do not miss it. Obviously, if it's the fifth one, they're pretty fun and pretty cool, so do not miss this one. So we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. I hope you'll join me next week for another round, another edition right here on WMNF. Also invite you to visit TalkingAnimals.net for audio archives of every show we've ever broadcast. iTunes podcasts are available there too. There are also links to our Facebook page, our Instagram page, our Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook, the show, and or me personally. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, etc. You can also subscribe to our newsletter to find out about our guests a couple of days beforehand and other news from the Talking Animals world. That's all found at TalkingAnimals.net. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. This is Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weekiwachi, and beyond. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next Wednesday right here at 10 a.m. on Talking Animals. And we'll close out the balance of the show, fittingly enough, with ukulele music. Again, it's Jake Shimabukuro with Dragon on WMNF Tampa. Thanks.